My inner values lead to the dawn of eternal peace. My inner values lead to the dawn of eternal peace. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. My inner values lead to the dawn of eternal peace. If you are going to wash clothes, you take soap and water and apply it to the clothes and more water to rinse them out, and then you hang them up to dry or put them in a dryer or whatever you're going to do. But you have a procedure and you follow the procedure. The procedure does not have to be a washing machine. It can be in the river. It can be in a big barrel or bucket of water. It can be in most anything you want it to be. But it's usually with soap and water. And sometimes people who are in more primitive areas and don't have soap, they use the stones to beat the dirt out. Of course, you beat the fabric out too. My inner values lead to the dawn of eternal peace. How do I find out what my inner values are? How do I become aware of what my inner values are? What are my inner values? Well, my inner values are expressing outwardly in my life, in my body, in my affairs, so heavily and so strongly that I have a pretty good idea what my inner values are. If my life is a life of peace and tranquility and harmony and joy, then I can know that my inner values are values of peace, tranquility, harmony, and joy. If my life is all filled with problems and with conflict and with lack of peace and with illness and things like that, then I can be sure that my inner values are somewhat imbalanced, unbalanced. They're not directed to the way that I think I would want to go. Now, how do I put balance in motion in my life? How do I put my inner values in a way that they will lead to the dawn of eternal peace? Well, what is more important to me? Is it more important for me to be myself and have fun? Or is it more important for me to be aware of what others are doing and be irritated by what others are doing than being myself and having fun? Now, we can look at big executives of big companies and see that they are just as heir to this thing as anybody else. They look at other companies and they say, why are they making more money than we are? Why are they more successful than we are? Why are they doing the things that we can't do? Well, maybe they're doing the things that you can't do because yours is going to be even more wonderful in your own way. Instead of trying to copy ape someone else to do what they do, figure out what it is that is your own modus operandi, your own way of operating, way of conducting yourself that is going to bring about the highest and best for you. Now, that can work out just fine. You have people in your world who are going to offer you suggestions, tell you things to do, tell you how to live and how to put your shoes on and things like that. And that's your creation. Now, why do you create people in your world to tell you these unimportant, apparently, things to do? Now, you say, Einstein's wife told him to put his pants on. Now, that certainly was important, wasn't it? Not really. Not really. What if he had gone to school and taught a class without any pants on? What would the students be looking at, his lack of pants or his infinitely brilliant mind? Now, when you see someone on stage and they have a crippled body, and their crippled body is very obvious and very not pleasant to look at, and the person starts speaking and starts sharing with you what's in their heart and in their mind and in their dreams and desires, and before you know it, they have wound you around their little finger of love, and you have no idea what they are wearing. If you are concerned with what people are wearing and what they look like and how they act and so forth, you're missing the whole point. How have you created anybody in your world? Have you created anybody in your world because of appearances or because of what they are in their soul, in their heart, in their being? Well, I like to think that I do my best to create people in my world for what's in their heart and soul and being. At times, I misjudge, you might say, and I believe in somebody more than they believe in themselves, and in the process, they fall down and hurt themselves, or hurt me, by saying that I have asked them to do things that they couldn't do. Now, we have a handyman here, nice guy, and my values are always enjoy the best in whatever you do. Have the finest equipment you can have the latest equipment, the best equipment you can have, if people are willing to use it. If they're not willing to use it, of course, don't buy it, because by the time they're willing to use it, it'll be outdated. So then you buy it later. Okay, now. Well, this young man came to work for us, and he has a low esteem of himself, unfortunately. And the low esteem of himself says to himself that he's not worthy of the best. And so he's been working around here, and I said to him, no, make sure that everything is in good condition. Make sure that everything is clean. He said, well, the guy before didn't clean the airless paint sprayer, and so therefore it's not in perfect shape. And I said, that's not for you to say. For you to say is to clean the airless paint sprayer and have it beautiful for you. And if somebody else comes along in the meantime and uses it and doesn't clean it, you don't say a thing. You just clean it and you keep it perfect, because that's what your job is. Your job is to take the equipment and keep it in as fine a shape as you can. Now, other people who come along and misuse it, they will see by the way in which you keep up things that that's the manner in which it's to be done. You have given them the inner values that you have, and that leads to the dawn of eternal peace for you. When we live our life so beautifully that we are living our inner values, everybody else catches on. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes a long time. Now, you just look at the story of Moses. Moses led the people out of Egypt land, which is quite a feat in itself, and took them for 40 years on a wandering journey throughout the worst lands of the Holy Land area. And at the finality of it, he brought them to what he called the land of milk and honey. Now, why was it that Moses wasn't able to join the people in the land of milk and honey? Because he doubted. He doubted, yeah. Can you imagine that big man who brought the people out of Egypt doubting? Yes. He doubted the most important thing in the world. Himself, of course. And his creation. Who were his creation? The people that he brought out of Egypt. He did not believe that those people were so fantastic, so glorious, so good, and expect the very highest out of them, that the minute he went away for a while and came back, he found that they were misbehaving. Now, instead of him misbehaving and taking the sacred text that was given to him and crashing it on the rocks and saying, you don't deserve it, him judging his people saying, you don't deserve it, he made himself into a terror, a tyrant. He made himself just absolutely ugly. And that's what kept him from going to the promised land. He could have gone very easily. He could have been the aged wise one, but along the way, he forgot that the voice in him said, go and get my people Israel, and take them out of Egypt land, and bring them to the land of milk and honey. So Moses, in his infinite wisdom, he said, if I have the people on the road for 40 years, the old generations that knew slavery would die off, and the new generations who remembered what their parents said, they'd die off, and we'd have a generation who knew nothing about the past. And we'll bring them into this holy land, the land of milk and honey, and they will be very beautiful. He forgot. It's the people who have these burdens and overcome these burdens by their choice, rather than having Big Daddy overcome it for them. Jesus never overcame the burdens for the people. He showed them how. All great leaders never overcome the burdens for the people. They never take the burden away from people, but they show them how, so that as they face that burden again and again, they will be master, and then the burden doesn't have to come back again. If you go to a mother who's just lost a child, and you say to the mother, oh, that's okay, you know, bless you, forget it. You don't ever remember the child again. Now you go on to your next children. Then when the next one dies, and the next one dies, the next one dies, she won't be prepared. But if she is prepared with the death of the first one, that this child has come to her family for a specific reason and brought with it all the joy and harmony that it brought, and now it's ready to move on to its next dimension, there don't have to be any next childs and next child, because she has learned the lesson that the child had to give to her. And this is what we so often do. We seldom learn the lesson. We often are given the lesson again and again and again, hopefully that we will learn it. But we don't. We want somebody else to do it for us. We want somebody else to make everybody behave, whereas we should have to behave ourselves. We want somebody else to make everything right, whereas we have to make it right ourselves. I will ask you a question, and don't answer it, but just know the answer. What difference does it make if anything happens or anything doesn't happen? And the answer is nothing, because we live in the now. If we live in the now, as we live in the now, there is no past, there is no future. So therefore, there is no retribution for what has taken place in the past, and there is no heaven to come in the future. There is only living in the present. Are you living in your original purity and integrity right now? Wow, yes. Do you believe it? Then you have limited your original purity and integrity. You have said, well, I'm sort of good. I'm sort of wonderful. We've been working on the INTA program to establish a paragraph that defines what INTA is in the world of New Thought religion, New Thought philosophy. And in the beginning, everybody was making it such a complex thing. They wanted to include and give credit to all of these great people who have led the way in New Thought, which is a noble thing. They wanted to tell how it fits into the role of Christianity, which is a noble thing. They wanted to go on and on in so many different ramifications that they forgot what the definition was. What is the definition of New Thought? The definition of New Thought is like a new cause. We're putting a new cause in motion about ourself and our world, that all is God, all is good, and all is right now. Simple, comprehensive, fulfilling, but it's not enough, because they say there will always be people who don't understand that, and that's true. Jesus said, it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, tell me one person on the face of the earth who really understands that. It's done unto you according to your belief. In other words, every single experience you have in your life, you have had a belief about it. You have had an opinion. You have had an idea. And you have had your those be your inner values, which lead you to the dawn of your eternal peace. Well, now, is your eternal peace? Is it a gentleness? Is it a lovingness? Or is it something else? We have to think about these things very carefully, because we're so inclined to go around judging others when we should be judging ourselves. Nope, we shouldn't even be judging ourselves. We should go around drawing forth from our, what do we say here? Our inner values. We should draw forth from our inner values who we really are and put the cause in motion and experience it right now. Are you willing, ready, and able to do that? Well, maybe. Maybe. This morning we had our computer set up here, and everything was in perfect order. But there was one major imperfection. Someone had cleaned off the table, removed the computer from it, put the computer back on the table, and put the plugs in the wrong slots. So in the process of putting the plugs in the wrong slots, it did not record. It only recorded a buzz. And in the process, some mice got on our cord and ate the power end of the cord. And this caused an imperfect connection. And so now we have a new cord. Now we have labels that tell us where to put the plugs. After how many years? Now we have that. And so it is recording now. And it is recording beautifully and wonderfully. So let's realize that my inner values lead to the dawn of eternal peace. But my inner values, what are they? Are they simply being myself and having fun? If that's what they are, we will be the happiest, most fulfilled people in the entire creative experience. And that's pretty nice. Enjoy that and know that and realize that that's all that makes the world go round. That's all that makes the world go round, is that you're being yourself and having fun. Have a lovely day, and know that this instant illumination is ongoing. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.